Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back to another special episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Why is it special, you say? Because it's the Geek Legacy Podcast, and they're all special, asshole. Don't judge. Dave here. Justin. Randy. Save me from berating our audience more.
It didn't take long at all before calling our audience assholes.
It's okay. We need those.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
I'm fabulous. Thank you.
I'm great as well. You know, you can't function without an asshole, so it's pretty...
Right.
It's not a bad thing.
No, it's just sad that people who critique movies like ourselves and people who just pay to watch movies just seem to can't get along. And there's this big divide amongst the Suicide Squad that we're going to talk about at length, I'm sure. But yeah, where to start? Suicide Squad. Randy gave it an A++. He said it was an absolute marvel of storytelling. And Justin and I thought it was a dumpster fire that sucked 12 dicks. So maybe we'll just... Should we start? Who wants to start?
I'll start. Just say that I'm a big fan of movies that it's either a love it or hate it. Because I hate the meh kind of attitude. I want
Worlds of the world.
Yes, I want it to either speak to an audience or not at all and completely miss the mark. And I love that this is one of those movies. And I love... that DC took a chance. You know, they took a risk on a property that could very well have been the worst idea ever, and they ran with it until a certain point. Then they had the reshoots, and then they had the crazy cuts, and they had a director that wanted one thing, and studio execs that wanted another, and then they found what they agreed to be a happy medium, and I feel like we, the audience, suffered for that. I think that if they're going to take a risk, then just fucking go balls out and take a shot. Don't pull back. Just make it happen. And I think that we, the audience, are the victims here. But either way, what they finally unleashed on this audience, some people loved, some people hated. I thought it was a complete disaster. And you guys know that I have low expectations when it comes to movies, and I usually walk away with a big smile on my face. And I was laughing at this movie, but for all the wrong reasons. I thought it was a complete joke, and I still think Batman and Robin is better than Suicide Squad.
That is a bold claim. It's probably just as well written.
I saw a great little meme on Facebook today, and it had the posters for Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, and then Suicide Squad, and the little text caption on it said, "I'm so glad I finally got to see the third in the trilogy."
Oh,
that's so accurate.
It's true. It's true.
Well, what were your initial thoughts, Randy? Because I think Justin and I are going to mirror each other a lot, so we'll go to you.
I mean, overall, I had fun with it. A lot of the technical gripes that people are complaining about, the pacing, the editing, the fact that some scenes just really don't make a whole lot of sense, I get that, and I agree with that, but I still overall had a good time. I think the fun aspect of it slightly out-tipped the poor storytelling aspect of it. But I had fun. If I gave it a letter grade, it would be a solid C. Maybe a C+.
Maybe. Margot Robbie puts it as C+ for you.
Yes. Right? Oh, my God.
She was pretty great as Harley Quinn, I think.
Yeah, Deadshot and Harley Quinn. The movie could be all them, and I would be a happy camper.
And Amanda Waller was... spot on.
Oh yeah.
Viola Davis or Viola Davis.
Yeah, when they extract her and she just fucking just blasts all the people in the room.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, yeah. I thought those three were great, and I'm excited to see more Harley Quinn, and I think they've been working on her standalone movie, and I feel confident she'll have one. I don't know if it'll be a more is too much, if she's more a less is more kind of gal, but like. I mean, everything she did made me smile. Like she was that like schizophrenic, the movie was like Harley Quinn in when it couldn't decide whether it was Batman v Superman or Guardians of the Galaxy. And it tried to be both of them. And by doing that, it missed the mark of what made both of those you know, actual films. You know, I'm not going to say good films because, you know, what I think about Batman v Superman. But it in, I feel like that's like just like the perfect allegory for Harley Quinn. But when Margot Robbie played Harley Quinn, she pulled it off flawlessly. But the film itself could not pull off the tightrope walk.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy because I feel that this did try really hard to kind of maintain that feel with the music choices, but it seemed completely out of place. Like a lot of the music just didn't seem like it belonged there. And it really felt like they shoehorned it in.
Absolutely.
To try to make it fun. It's like, hey, we're going to throw this song in there that nobody's expecting. It doesn't fit the scene, but we're going to make it cool that way.
Yeah. It was like trying to be one giant music video.
It missed it for me.
I mean, and it had three opening scenes. Basically we had a Deadshot opening. We had a Harley Quinn opening. And then we had like the largest exposition info dump in the history of cinema. I don't even know how long it is. It felt like it was like 15 minutes where she just outlined everybody. I don't think everyone in the team needed to be introduced. I think you cut those first two scenes with Deadshot and Harley. You maybe make their introduction from Waller a little bit longer, and you give the rest of the team like 2 seconds. Killer Croc was just a waste and stupid, and like I could have done without. Captain Boomerang had like the one scene that Justin's going to talk about a little bit. The Diablo guy, the Vato guy, like he was Mr. Freeze level bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think he even said way?
Did he?
Yeah.
He probably did.
Oh, but that's great.
Yeah, and there were so many scenes that didn't like flow into the next one. And I don't mean that in a, you know, one group of people going to another group of people going back to the original group of people. I mean, scenes with the Suicide Squad going into scenes with the Suicide Squad that didn't make any sense. We had back-to-back scenes where Harley and Deadshot, then one scene are talking about that they need to just kill Flag and steal his device. And then the next scene, they need to save Flag, even though they could easily just take his device at that point. And it was never really clear like whether or not they were going to try to take it.
But Waller was watching them too, so...
Yeah, he's like, if he dies, we die.
Right,
yeah.
No, and I totally understand that, but the scene before, they're talking about, like, we need to get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't know if they knew that Waller was watching them at that point. Mm. Just because Deadshot pulls Harley aside at one point and says, hey, you know, we're going to make a move and this and that. And then the very next scene, those, like, weird faceless things showed up that made no sense. I mean... We gripe on Marvel for having... Marvel is yet to have a decent villain outside of Loki. Like, all of their other villains are just forgettable trash. Even ones that are voiced by James Spader, who is amazing at everything. And, I mean, DC is not doing much better. I mean, Doomsday was atrocious. Lex Luthor was just the worst. And now we have Enchantress and her brother, who...
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't even know if I could tell you what they were... I mean, they were just trying to take over the world, and, like...
Yeah. Well, because they're no longer worshipped. They worship machines. And what was with the little Harlem Shake dance that she was doing as she was talking to them?
Yeah. That was pretty good.
That was weird. I couldn't stop smiling. I was like, I understand what's happening, but I don't like it.
Yeah. And when I saw it again on Thursday, that's right, I saw it twice, people were cheering. Like in this movie, and they're like cheering at like nonsense. And it just didn't, nothing made sense. Like if they were cheered at like Harley doing something, that's great. Harley is amazing and worth cheering for. But like other things, not so much.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah. What letter grade would you give it, Justin? Randy said solid C.
I'd say like a D+.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe even a C, depending on the mood. Because I was laughing, I wasn't laughing at the right moments, but I was with my friends. And so I had a smile on my face, but when I walked out, everyone was talking about how terrible it was. So, I mean, a D+ on a bad day, C- on a good day. But it had its moments. I think they would have been better off with Joker being the villain and not so much this brother-sister combo thing. Like,
right.
If Suicide Squad had a mission... Joker was in the way of that mission, and Batman were in the way of that mission, it probably would have been a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, okay, well, you brought up Joker. What do you think of the Joker, Justin?
Oh,
what do you
man.
Think of Jared Leto's Joker?
Jared Leto's hip-hop Joker with Common? in the club?
In the club.
not on board, my friend. I am not on board. I, I think he's creepy. I think he nailed the creepy part, and you know, his tattoos where he had like the mouth that he put on the guy's lips and everything. I thought that was kind of interesting. I do like how he was maniacal, and I didn't know what he was gonna do next. I was literally thought he was unpredictable, which I thought was great. But overall, I'm just not on board.
What about you, Randy? What are your thoughts on Leto's Joker?
Overall, entirely underwhelming. I don't know. It's just there's nothing that really stood out as being particularly great about this incarnation of the Joker. Mm-hmm. And you know, coming off of what was arguably one of the best performances as the Joker with Heath Ledger, we all knew that there was going to be a really high bar. And so anybody, I guess what I'm trying to say is anybody probably would have failed in that comparison. But this just felt even like a bigger insult, just because I don't feel like the character was really done well. I don't think it was done justice.
Yeah, I feel like that Heath Ledger disappeared in the Joker. Like, I felt like I was watching the Joker in the Dark Knight trilogy. Here, I felt like I was watching Jared Leto just be weird.
Right.
Like, I just felt like I was cognizant that this is a guy trying to play a crazy Joker, to where with Heath Ledger, I felt like, fuck, dude, the Joker's in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. And I was
real.
That's interesting you say that, because I remember when Dark Knight came out, and I was trying to remember what Heath Ledger looked like when I was watching him in the... When the scene where he goes to the table with all the mafia guys and he's trying to say, hey, I'll kill Batman for you if, you know, just give me half your money. That entire scene, I almost kind of blanked out because I was trying to remember what he fucking looked like without makeup.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that's really Heath Ledger? No fucking way. And this one with Jared Leto, yeah, totally. Just him being a weirdo. But
yeah, it's funny with Heath Ledger. Like, I watch Dark Knight, and I don't get sad that he's dead, like, because it just doesn't register. But, like, I watch, like, Knight's Tale, and I'm like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah. yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah, I just didn't dig into him. But, but yeah, I mean, all in all, you know, I guess what can you do? It made $130-something million at Shatter the August opening weekend.
It did well overseas, too.
Yeah, it looks like it's not going to play in China, though, which is kind of a hit. So we'll have to see. It looks like it just got kind of phased out. There's been a lot of directors who are complaining about the MPAA giving it a PG-13 rating. Judd Apatow was one of them, just talking about how it's amazing how, you know, one bad word or a nipple or someone using marijuana gets you an R rating, but these people can just willy-nilly kill people in every imaginable shape and size, and, you know, they can get away with the PG-13. So
yeah, that is true.
There's a dude's head that exploded off of his body.
Yeah, while he was doing acrobatics.
Yeah. Slipknot.
Is that what his name was?
That was his name, yeah. The Native American guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Slipknot, not the band.
Yeah, and they have to kill somebody. That I didn't know who it was going to be, but I knew that somebody was going to have to die. And for those of you out there that are still unsure what really the Suicide Squad's all about, there are some comic books. I think they're all terrible. I've read a few Suicide Squad comics in my day, but none have really stuck with me. But the Assault on Arkham animated movie, I think, is really, really good. And I think it's way better than this movie that just came out.
Yeah, and there were just so many wasted opportunities. Like Katana, or what is that her name? Katana?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she just, like, shows up and she, like, does nothing. She's just badass and she really doesn't do much. Just all this wasted opportunity, you know. They had all these stars in the movie and none of them, with the exception of the three we've been raving about, you know, really did anything. Jay Courtney just continued his streak of being just fine.
Yeah, that's interesting how that works too. And I thought that he could have been the comedy relief in the movie. You know, offsetting Harley, that is. I think he was underused.
But he just, I don't know, maybe if he hit the full. But yeah, he was. Were you surprised when you saw The Flash?
I was.
I was completely caught off guard. That was a nice cameo.
Yeah, Zack Snyder directed that scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they shot it during principal photography for Justice League when Suicide Squad was in post-production. And so Zack Snyder directed that during his Justice League shoot.
And I think he's going to be a good Flash. I know everyone's all worried because Grant Gustin is their Flash, but just in that one scene that he has in the trailer for Justice League, I was on board. I was like, all right, he's got it.
Yeah, I agree. I can't believe people are making that decision based off of 4 seconds of screen time in which all he does is run in, catch the guy, and run out.
Right.
It's not like he had any dialogue or did anything.
Yeah. I don't know. So Suicide Squad, now I'm curious, are we going to get a David Ayer cut like we got with the Super Mega Ultimate Batman v Superman edition?
Right. Well, David Ayer is playing the game. He's saying that this cut is his cut, that there will be a Blu-ray with some deleted scenes, said probably between 7 and 10 minutes of deleted scenes. But he's being a company man. He's saying that this cut that Warner Brothers is releasing is what his cut of the film would have been.
Yeah, I don't believe it for a second.
Oh, no, it's 100% not true, but, you know, this isn't a Joss Whedon situation or even a Zack Snyder with Batman v Superman. This is, you know, him just coming out and saying, you know, hire me again, Warner Brothers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I like working with you.
Exactly, we all need jobs, right? We all got to pay the mortgage, like Nick Naylor says.
That's right.
Got to pay the mortgage. So, sure, why not? Again, I love how the studio wanted to take a risk with a movie like this. And I'm just sad that they kind of wimped out and decided to change a few things. I don't think it was necessary. Because now I'm going to have that doubt. Like, what could the movie have been? Maybe I would have enjoyed it the other way. I don't know. That kind of shit just bothers me. I hate when people don't stick to their guns on that sort of thing.
Right, they kind of flinch. They play chicken on the train tracks and they jump before the train comes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just let it hit you.
Yeah, it's supposed to get splattered.
I hadn't even left the station yet.
That's right. Now, what did you guys think of the mid-credit scene with with Bruce Wayne and Waller?
I don't even remember. I stayed for it, and she's got a folder of people in it.
Yeah, she gives him the folder of the Justice League, and then he's leaving, says that he looks tired. He should quit his night job, or he should stop working nights.
That's right.
And then he tells her she should stop while she's ahead before his team has to come shut her down.
Hmm. That's right. So this is the moment where he gets the files on Arthur Curry and fucking Barry Allen.
Which he already has from Batman v Superman.
He has a couple of clips, but he doesn't have names. And
it's fucking Batman. He can't run facial recognition software. I've seen CSI. They can do that shit.
Tell me
Batman can't find them?
That's funny you say that, because remember when the weapon was going off and all this shit was just getting destroyed, and they're just watching it on TV in like the war room or whatever? there's like a shot of this aircraft carrier getting split in half from a stationary camera somewhere in the ocean.
Chilling in the middle of, on a buoy somewhere.
That made me laugh. I was like, are you serious with this shit right now? Oh my god. Yo, y'all must be crazy.
Clearly, it was from a drone.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Oh god. Whatever. It's fine. but I love Batman.
You got all the information. You got it from freaking Lex Luthor, and Wonder Woman's there to help him out. He didn't need these files, and why would, if Batman / Bruce Wayne is trying to make this noble team, why is he going to help out and protect Waller, who is this awful person with this evil villain team?
Well, I think it's shades of gray, though, dude. Like, he's...
But she's not gray. She's... I hate to use the word she's not gray. She's evil. Yeah, we'll do it that way.
But ultimately she has the nation's best interest in her mind. She's doing good.
Right.
So
I appreciate your conundrum there, Dave.
Yes.
Okay. So flip it on her. She's all about making people do what is against their best interest. And she knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman. Why would she play along with him and be helpful and like help him out? Wouldn't you think that she would just find a way to push that button to make Batman on her side? Why would she play nice with Bruce Wayne / Batman? It's completely against her self-interest. It's against her character type. Because he'll protect her? You know, it just seems like that both of these characters are playing.
If Batman comes to you and says, hey, give me this, aren't you just going to give it to him? Are you really going to fuck around?
If I'm Amanda Waller, I will.
Yeah, she seems like the fuck around type.
Maybe. She does seem like the fuck around type.
Well, she might have another agenda too.
I mean, she just gave him this information. She's like, here you go, take it, go find your Justice League. I hope it turns out good for you guys. Better than that last turd.
But I think she's
how's Martha?
But she's a believer that it's gonna take, you know, fight fire with fire. So I think that she is under the impression that he's doing the same thing that she's doing, except he's going to be doing it with all good guys. That's the same thing. They both have a task force of badass individuals that are going to go save the day. It's just maybe she thinks that he can control these metas more than she can.
Maybe. It just seems silly.
I feel like it's the same idea. It's just one's full of scumbags and the other one is full of good guys.
Right. She wants to use and abuse and
because she has leverage. You know, she has something that they want. Time off their sentence or to be set free.
10 years. 10 years off a triple life sentence, yeah. Thanks, lady.
Yeah, exactly.
See, Captain Boomerang could have been funny.
I think he was. To me, he was one of the highlights of this very low film.
Yeah, it just wasn't there a lot.
Yeah, he just was barely in it.
Yeah, and he was always standing next to either the completely wasted Killer Croc or whatever the other Diablo guy's name.
Yeah, see, him and Killer Croc could have had a buddy cop kind of comedy together.
Yeah.
That was another missed opportunity. But whatever. Who knows?
You know.
Well, supposedly there's a lot of stuff that got cut. I'm curious to see how much ever sees the light of day, because it might...
Well,
like,
I mean... Yeah, there were Joker
said
scenes.
7 to 10. He said 7 to 10 minutes.
And there were scenes in the trailer that didn't make it to the movie either.
There were tons of scenes. I was reading an article the other day, just outlining all these different scenes that we saw snippets of in the trailer that just never materialized in the final movie, mm-hmm. And it's significant. Like, there's a whole thing where the Joker's supposed to apparently, spoiler alert, anybody that hasn't seen it, instead of Harley falling out of the helicopter when she gets rescued, he pushes her out, and they have, like, some fight, and he tries to kill her, and then he comes back during the final fight down underground in the subway, and he's all burnt from the helicopter crash. I mean, there's that whole thing that we saw in the trailer with the side of his face all burnt, like Two-Face. There's all sorts of shit. And not to mention, there was supposed to be a scene where they figured out how to deactivate the little explosive chip in all their necks, which explains how he's able to rescue Harley in the first place.
I'm like, who's they?
Yeah.
So.
They being like the Suicide Squad? Or
they being Joker and his goons.
Well, he does. He disables Harleys.
Yeah, he does. But they shot basically...
They
actually go somewhere like where they're manufactured or something like that. They actually physically go to a place where those explosives are.
They go to the movie and they find the guy who made him and shot him in there, and that's the guy that's in the helicopter with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, I remember that part, but it sounded different when I read the article. Maybe I'm the asshole.
Well, that's usually the
case. I typically am.
But yeah, David Ayer said 7 to 10 minutes on the Blu-ray, that there will be no, you know, extended cut. This is his movie, he says. Mm. Which I say, I'm sorry about that.
At least he's doing it.
Yeah. But Randy, you brought up an interesting point. I don't know if it was off the air at the very beginning about this was a fine summer movie and that you liked it for what it is. And a lot of heat's been thrown at, you know, people like us who critique films that, you know, you guys are too critical. It's just a summer movie. It's just a comic book movie. But... So I guess I'll ask this to you. Why should a movie that has such an enormous budget that could afford the best writing and the best directing and the best acting, why should a film like that, why should we accept mediocrity? Shouldn't the Transformers movies and their $250 million budget, shouldn't those be like the best movies ever? Shouldn't they be able to afford the most talented people in every aspect of their craft?
If the amount of money spent on a film was equally related to how good it was, then holy shit, we should be like in the middle of a cinematic renaissance right now. But that's definitely
that's
not the
I'm
case.
That's what I'm saying. Why are we accepting that not being the case?
Take
for example The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight was an expensive tentpole comic book movie. They spent 100 at the time, I think it was $110 million, which is probably like $200 million now. And you know what? They got a fucking awesome director. They got a tight script. They went out and got an amazing cast. And you know what they made? They made cinematic gold. So why shouldn't we hold other summer blockbuster slash popcorn slash just turn your brain off flicks? Why shouldn't we hold them to that same regard?
Honestly, I'm tired of trying of waiting for good movies to come. So I'll you got to make the most of what you're given. You know, take fucking lemons, make lemonade with it.
Right. But if we tell Warner Brothers to go fuck themselves, we don't want to watch this garbage. Do better. Do you think that they would do better? If we spoke with our wallets.
Yeah, I was going to say the only way we could possibly do that is if we spoke with our wallets, because they're not going to listen to random trolls on the internet, which are the most vocal in terms of their distaste for the movies.
To where should people be able to throw it in our face that we say we didn't like this movie? So which side is it? Are we expecting too much of these films, or are we right in expecting these films and other people that are the masses that are paying for it are just not to that point? Maybe they don't see as many movies. You know, I see 200 movies a year, and so I see the best.
I think what it comes down to is we are expecting a lot.
I expect other films to be great.
We are expecting a lot from our movies these days, because we grew up with classics that they just don't make anymore. And no, seriously, I mean,
is cinema just changed and these are the classics and we're just used to a different kind of classics? Like, if you look at like trailers from like the 70s or 80s versus the trailer now, you would, if someone would be transported from like 1969, having just seen like 2001 A Space Odyssey and then shown like Transformers 4, their heart would explode. Like, they couldn't take that shit. And so is cinema different?
They probably would have a heart attack. I think cinema is definitely...
What are these robots doing?
I think we're old men now, and we don't get it. I think it's not made for us anymore. I think it's made for the fucking kids. And that's cool. We just have to realize that we're not the fucking kids anymore.
I don't know. There's still some pretty fun movies out there, though. Like, for me, like Mad Max. In what world would I think that Mad Max would be an Academy Award-winning movie that was just fucking badass? Like,
all over that movie, like, the year before it came out. And it came out, I'm like, fuck, this movie's good.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, I went in with no expectations to see this Mad Max movie. And when it was over, I wanted to just go right back and wait in line and go see it again. I loved the shit out of it. I saw it 3 times in the theater. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. So, I mean, it can be a crazy summer blockbuster, but and still be an amazing movie. It doesn't have to be dog shit.
I agree.
And it makes me sad that there are these movies that go out and do that. Like fucking Dread. That's another example. That's a comic book movie, and everyone thought that movie was gonna be dog shit too. And look at that movie, blew me away. I couldn't stop talking about it when it came out. Mm. I was like, oh my god, this fucking movie is amazing. And it's Dread.
Money on it.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, when we were Sylvester Stallone, I'm like, no, goddamn, it's Carl Urban. And it's
like
really
more
good.
Rob Schneider.
So it can be done. It can be a silly property and still be an amazing movie. And I think Dread is a perfect example of that. And with the talent of David Ayer, they could have made a Suicide Squad movie in the vein of Dread, which is hardcore violence, and it would have been amazing. With a nice villain. And that going with the idea of maybe Joker and Batman are both the bad guys in this movie getting in the way of Suicide Squad.
And Suicide Squad's script was pretty heinous, and maybe that's where the breakdown is between great and terrible films. Because I know that David Ayer is a competent filmmaker. I like Fury enough. Street Kings is good, and
That's right.
Oh, was Street? Okay, good.
And End of Watch. Did you do that movie?
End of Watch. Yeah, with Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, all those movies are great, and so he can do it. You know, we just talked about the performances. The main three performances you needed to be good were all good. You know, maybe Joel Kinnaman, the you know, RoboCop guy, he was fine. He wasn't a joke like some of the other characters. So I guess maybe that's where the fault is. The fault's in the script. So maybe that's where we need to ramp up our production budget, I guess, because you could have the same set pieces, so it wouldn't cost any more money, but just change the dialogue.
Right.
And, you know, exposition dumps, like we talked about, is just lazy storytelling. You know, they could have told us most of this information through the normal course of, you know, a narrative journey through the film. They just chose to take 15 minutes out of the movie to just totally Wikipedia your ass. Like, hey, didn't go to Wikipedia? You're in luck. Here we go. Boom. Mm-hmm. Done. And yeah, I don't know. I just get sad. I guess I am expecting too much of my film.
And see
how much it costs.
And I don't think that I fall into that umbrella. Because, I mean, you're talking to a guy that loves the new Ninja Turtle movies. Like, I mean, I can accept a popcorn movie and enjoy it. If it's just Jason Statham beating the shit out of people for 90 minutes, I'm there. I'll have my big tub of popcorn. I'll have my fucking bucket of cola. And I'll just enjoy the shit out of it. I don't need groundbreaking material. I just didn't enjoy Suicide Squad. It was that simple. And I'm someone that has my degree in film. I have a formal education on what is in quotes as what makes a good movie. And I throw that out the window when I sit down and just try and absorb the information that's given to me and walk away with a smile on my face. And this movie did not do that.
There you go. Well, that's kudos to you. We actually threw it out to the bookface world just to see what other people were thinking about the film. And so everyone, Randy Van Dyke, said it was an absolute marvel of storytelling. Need I say more? You loved it, start to finish. Our buddy Chung, who actually I saw it with Thursday, I felt really bad because when I don't like a movie, I don't really like to like tell people I saw it with, because especially if they liked it, like as soon as like the credits started rolling, he kind of told me how much he liked it. And then he asked what I thought, and I was like, it was fine. I don't want to talk about it. And he kind of brought it out of me. So I told him, you know, my gripes. And then in front of me, I saw his whole entire perception of the movie just switch so that like we could be in line with each other. And I don't really like when that happens. So he said he liked the movie overall. His pros were Harley Quinn was a delight. The action was aplenty. Deadshot was badass. Waller was spot on. Batfleck was good. Flash cameo was nice, but he is no Grant Gustin, which we talked about earlier. Like all of the whole 4 seconds where he doesn't say anything, he wasn't Grant Gustin.
Yeah. Grant Gustin's had like 44 episodes to be amazing.
Exactly. his cons were the relationship between Joker and Harley was too healthy. I guess he wanted to see more smacking or something like that. He said that...
Wait, really? We get to see him do the shock treatment to her and
throw her
into the vat. Yeah. I don't know.
But he showed compassion by jumping in after her right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was all like, I do love this broad.
Oh, God. When their chemicals were mixing... That was so bad. Yeah. She's tap dancing. That was so stupid.
And I didn't buy that as acid. That was just like mucus. It was milk.
Yeah, it was just a byproduct from some fucking dairy farm that they were at. Yeah.
Yeah, he said he didn't like Leto. He said the team bonded too quickly. Quoting my favorite line from the movie, I'm not I lost one family. I'm not going to lose another family. He said Grant Gustin was the Flash, which we already talked about. Brian Hopp, our very own Viking filmmaker, he said, hey, at least it's not the Olympics. Just put that on the poster, I guess.
That's sad. That's funny, because if it's not Cool Runnings, then I'm just not interested in the Olympics. Isn't that sad? Or I like that other movie, Miracle. That's a good Olympic movie.
Oh, yeah.
I like the Winter Games, apparently.
Yeah, I'm more of a Winter Games
fan. Don't like Kurt
fan.
Russell, though.
You're like, oh, yeah, he's a dick in that movie. Again.
Yeah.
Again.
Herb.
Oh, man.
But in the end, it's all for their own better. And they win. So he's like, oh, if you win, you're not a dick. If they would have lost, it would have been like his asshole. Our very own Tyler Waterman, our managing editor of all things comics, doesn't miss a beat about anything comics, less everything comic related, said, oh, nothing to contribute. He didn't see the movie and he doesn't want to see it.
He wants to spend a dollar. He is talking to Warner Brothers with his wallet. He's saying, yes. Here's a dollar. I'll pick it up on Redbox.
Yeah, and then when people started commenting on his post, said, oh, it sounds like you guys saved me a dollar. Jennifer Cavender Langdon, our favorite Jennifer in the whole world. She said, "I liked it, but I'm not as critical as you all are. Hours were there holes? Sure. Was it still fun to watch? Sure. I see all superhero movies, like the vast majority of them. I'm not going to butcher this person's eyebrows are amazing. Kara, I'm assuming that was Enchantress.
Yeah.
Her eyebrows were amazing and deserved to be mentioned in the credits as their own character. Margot Robbie was great. You could tell that she really enjoyed her version of Harley Quinn, and I love Will Smith in everything. Viola Davis taught us that she really truly knows how to get away with murder." Oh, I see what she did there. Mm. "I love movies. I liked it," she said.
I love movies too.
I love
Dave,
movies.
Dave, you hate movies and women. You are the worst.
And old people. there was something in there that made me think about something, but I can't remember now. So, oh well. Is anything else on Suicide Squad?
Nope.
Randy, anything else?
I think anything more would be beating a dead horse.
Ooh.
I feel like there's a segue somewhere in there.
Well, I think that's it for our show, special little Suicide Squad episode. Any last-minute shout-outs before we wrap this up?
I do. I wanted to announce that we played this past weekend over at Gen Con with Nonstop to Comic Con, and we won the award for Best Comedy. That makes award number 30 for Nonstop, our silly little geeky movie, so we could not be more proud. And our next screening is next month in September on the 23rd in Austin, Texas. So be sure to like us on Facebook to get all the deets for our next screening. And maybe we're coming to a town near you.
Oh, shit. Unlike Randy, I could expect more. I want to win 31 in Austin.
Well, congratulations, guys. That's fantastic.
Hey, thanks. And we're nominated for 5 awards in Austin. So who knows? Maybe we'll win something over there, too.
Austin, Massachusetts?
No.
Well, now I amend my previous statement. Now I know it's 5 awards. I won 35.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
The die has been cast.
He's not asking for much.
Anything less than 35 is a failure.
It is an affront to humanity.
Mm. Something is afoot at the Circle K.
Yeah. Oh,
shit. Alrighty then, well, thank you for listening to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Remember to share your thoughts on Suicide Squad. You either love it or you hate it. Which one are you? We are drawing a line in the sand, dude. Cross this line, you do not. Remember to check out the other podcasts on the Geek Legacy Network. Of course, there is the Comic Corner podcast hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where I'm sure they'll have a fun conversation about the movie. I believe Dave's going to go ahead and guest on that podcast this week. Especially since Tyler hasn't seen it. I don't know how much he can contribute. He'll just be a yes man.
Yeah, we were going to try to get Jeff on the show tonight, but I'm pretty sure he hates 2/3 of us. So,
oh. Fucking yeah. Dave, you ruined everything. Fucking Edmondson. We also have the Pixelated Podcast hosted by Stephen K. James and myself. A lot of fun with the video games. We didn't have a show last week. Mr. James was just a little bit too busy for me, I guess. He had some shit going on at the work job, and I was not a part of it.
Meanwhile, today he posted about 3 hours of Pokemon hunting.
Yeah, fucker. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there at Geek Legacy, at Pixelated Pod, and at the Comic Corner. Thank you so much.